Hello. Thank you again for listening as we continue remote worship. We praise the Lord for the love of Jesus experienced through the presence of the Holy Spirit, granting us a hope and a peace the world cannot comprehend.
As we come together to worship this morning, we invite you to sing with us, "I Love You, Lord, and My Jesus, I Love Thee."
Let us pray. Gracious and loving Lord, we praise you for your love that we cannot earn, but for which we are eternally grateful. We pray that as we worship, we become more aware of your love for us, and that awareness will motivate us to love you and each other as you first loved us. We pray this service glorifies your name and draws your people closer to you. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Sally will now play a couple of songs reminding us of the joy of life we experience because of the love of Jesus. Our scripture lesson is John chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us, not to the world? Jesus answered him, Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus is preparing his disciples for their new and different relationship. In his final words, Jesus makes his expectations clear. The disciples are to continue the ministry of Jesus, which is to reveal God to the world and to bring glory to God. Here again, as you have heard me say many times, the instructions are very simple, very easy to understand. But the execution of the instructions can be extremely difficult, even if we love Jesus and strive to be a true and faithful follower. If we are disciples, followers of Jesus, we love him. Some initial reactions might be, well, of course I love Jesus. Or, that's a no-brainer. Or, John, that's not exactly a huge revelation. But Jesus says that if we love him, we keep his commandments. And what is Jesus' most pronounced command? Jesus commands that we love each other as he loves us. In Mark 12, 28 through 31, paraphrasing, Jesus said that all of the laws, all of morality, can be boiled down to two things. Love God and love people. Jesus makes it simple. We do not have to remember a whole catalog of do and do not, can and cannot. All Jesus commands is love God and love people. Love each other as I have loved you. So Jesus made it extremely simple. Now for me, the kicker is this. Jesus said the evidence of whether we love him is whether we love people, and if we love people as Jesus loves us. Let's think about that for a second. Jesus loved us before we ever thought about loving him. We are not asked to earn Jesus' love or do anything to keep Jesus loving us. Jesus voluntarily took upon himself the punishment for our sin when he had done nothing wrong, when he died on the cross. We do nothing to earn Jesus' forgiveness. The list could continue endlessly, but you get the picture. In whatever way we can think that Jesus has loved us, we are called to love others. Jesus is plain. Jesus is simple. It is not hard to understand. But we're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. I do my best to live what Jesus taught and did. I do my best to practice what I preach. But I'm not Jesus. I have failed to love as Jesus loves. And I'm not confident that I can. When I feel that someone has set out to intentionally bring me harm in some way, I have a hard time loving that person. If I feel someone has harmed my family or treated them unjustly, I have an even more difficult time loving that person. If I deal with someone that I perceive as just completely unreasonable, I have a hard time loving. Frankly, some people act like they do not want to be loved. And if they don't want to be loved, why bother? Again, this is a list that could continue endlessly. But can anyone else identify? Is there anyone else who is willing to be honest and confess that we have not loved like Jesus? Are we willing to confess that if we're totally honest, sometimes we really do not want to love like Jesus loves? And even if we do grow to the place where to love like Jesus is our desire, it seems impossible. There was only one Jesus because there is only one God. So I cannot love like Jesus. Yet Jesus did not present this as an option. In John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." So let's try to bring all this together to this point. Jesus gave a new commandment. Jesus gave a commandment, not a suggestion, that we love one another as Jesus loves us. And the evidence of whether we love Jesus is whether we keep Jesus' command. Yet, humanly speaking, I find it impossible. So what are we supposed to do? There is the argument that Jesus is saying that the believers, now the church, are to love each other as Jesus loves us. Because the context of this scripture is Jesus' final instruction to his disciples. So there are some who would contend that since this is the context in which Jesus is speaking, that now we would be saying that the church is called to love each other as Jesus loves us. My counter would be based on two points. The first being this: to be honest, the church is not always good at loving each other. To be honest, church members oftentimes can be vicious with one another. So even if we take it that the context says that we're limiting it to the church is called to love each other, that in itself proves to be a challenge. But I would also counter on a second point. There's the Sermon on the Mount, among other places, where Jesus proclaims a wider view of love. In Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48, Jesus says this: "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And then notice what Jesus says in the conversation in John 14, 22 through 24. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not the world?" Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me, whoever does not keep my words, whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me." According to scholars of Greek, the terms for word, words, and commands are all synonymous. They all point to the totality of what Jesus says and reveals about the Father. Thus, Jesus is commanding us to love each other and to love the unlovable. So for me, it still begs a question. How? Again, we are not Jesus. Even if we accept 100% the validity of the command to love as Jesus loves us, and even if we desire 100% to follow that command, we are not Jesus. Obviously, that's true. But that being the case, we are faced with a further dilemma that requires making a decision, making a choice. Jesus commands us to love as he loves us, but we are definitely not Jesus. So one option is to just write off the command. One option is to not even try, because there is no way to attain such a worthy, lofty, but impossible goal. Another option is to live in a perpetual state of guilt and frustration. Knowing the command and taking the command seriously, but not being able to live up to it, leaves one feeling guilty and frustrated. I contend that the best option is to actually seek to love as Jesus loves, because Jesus leaves the impression that it can be done. Jesus told the disciples that he was going to leave them help. Naturally, as Jesus was saying all these things, the disciples had questions and fears. In John 14, 18, Jesus tells them, "I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you." Jesus assures the disciples that they are not left alone, not left to themselves, to fulfill the commands and mission with which He is leaving them. And in His assurance and reassuring, He says the following in verses 15 through 17. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, because He abides with you, and He will be in you. The Greek word that Jesus uses in this context is that the Father will send the Paraclete. This is the term that Jesus is using for the Holy Spirit in this context. Now, Paraclete and Holy Spirit are not the same word, but Jesus is using Paraclete in this context to convey to the disciples what the functions of the Holy Spirit will be. Now, one of the difficulties for Bible translators is that very often there is not a single English word that directly corresponds to the Greek word. So translators choose the word they think works best in the context of the rest of the passage. Paraclete actually refers to many functions that the Holy Spirit will engage in relating to the disciples, in relating to Jesus' followers. A few of the functions of the Paraclete. The Paraclete is to exhort, which is to strongly encourage one to do something. The Paraclete comforts another. The Paraclete helps another. The Paraclete appeals to an authority for another. And this is not everything that the Paraclete does. So Jesus is telling His disciples that when He physically leaves, the Holy Spirit will be sent to the disciples to be with the disciples, and the Holy Spirit will fulfill all of the relational functions with them that Jesus did when He was on earth. Jesus is not leaving them by themselves. And not only is the Holy Spirit with us, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, through the functions of the Holy Spirit, live in us. Consider this thought, and it is crucial. It is so easy to be jealous of the disciples. Did the disciples not walk with Jesus? Did the disciples not spend 3 years with the physical Jesus? Did the disciples not see the resurrected Jesus? Do we not long for that? But hear this. If we have surrendered our lives, our heart, our soul, our will to Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus lives in us. Jesus lives in us. So we circle back to Jesus' command. A new commandment I give you, to love each other as I have loved you. Can John love as Jesus loves? No. No, I cannot. But if I listen to the exhortation of the Holy Spirit, I am motivated to love as Jesus loves. When I struggle to love as Jesus loves, the Holy Spirit comforts me in that struggle and continues to encourage me in that pursuit. of loving as Jesus loves. If I will be open to the Holy Spirit will help me do what I cannot do. The Holy Spirit will help me love when I cannot love. The Holy Spirit will help me love as Jesus loves. At least for myself, I do proclaim that I love Jesus. And I want my life to be the evidence that shows it. Though in my own determination, I cannot love as Jesus loves. Though sometimes in my human selfishness, I do not even desire to love as Jesus loves, particularly the unlovable. I am not giving up. I am not giving up because Jesus did not leave us to love as He loves without giving us help. I believe we can be made perfect and loving in this life, not because of our determination, not because of our goodness, not because of what we can do, but because of the Paraclete, the functions of the Holy Spirit, the residing of the Holy Spirit of Jesus living in us, the Holy Spirit of Jesus exhorting us to love, the Holy Spirit of Jesus motivating us to love, the Holy Spirit of Jesus encouraging and comforting us in our struggle, the Holy Spirit of Jesus helping us to do what we cannot do, the Holy Spirit of Jesus giving us the power, enabling us to do what in our humanity we cannot do. The Holy Spirit of Jesus empowers us to love as Jesus loves us. We can be perfect in love in this life because the Holy Spirit of Jesus lives in all who believe and call upon the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for a love that we cannot comprehend, but we are so thankful that we have received. And Lord, your people want to be like you. Your people want to obey and follow your command. But Lord, in our humanity, we can't do it. But thank you that you did not leave us to do this by ourselves, but through your Holy Spirit, it is possible to love the lovable and the unlovable, and even those who do not want to be loved. And so, gracious Lord, we know that all who love you and all who believe in you, the Holy Spirit of Jesus resides in us. May we come to that place where we are open, receptive, and able to experience your guidance, so that through your Holy Spirit, we may be made perfect in love in this life because of the Holy Spirit of Jesus who resides in us. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Oh, Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen.